Welcome to the original Italian-American podcast, Keeping It Real with Frankie D at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guest today is someone who gives back to his community, who does his part and then some for his heritage, traditions, and his faith. His name is Walter Viola, and he is a big part of the St. Rocco Society of Potenza in Chicago, and he is the host of his own show called Catholic Reboot. Walter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Frank. Great to be here.
Well, you do a lot, and I can't wait to get into all that. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, your Italian background, where that leads to, and then you're growing up in Chicago, your neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, if I could spin the camera, I'd probably be showing you a map of Calabria. So my dad's parents came over from Reggio, Calabria. My nonno came in the year of 1895. And he came to, originally the whole family came to the New York area. My nonno and nana were the only ones that kind of left the tribe, so to speak, and then came down to Chicago. They originally went over to Minnesota, then came down to Chicago. And my nonno was always 20 years ahead of whatever the year was. So in 1920, he was 40 years old. So he had come into Chicago in the late, probably 1919, 1920 area. And about 40 years old, right? And originally he was at Grand and Western, I believe, and he had opened up a big meat and cheese warehouse. And what happened, I guess we can talk about this today, the Black Hand came to him and wanted something or other, and he didn't something or other. And so they burned his warehouse down. And so what do you do in those days? There's no insurance. So he got in the car or trolley car and went to Grand and Harlem. And at that time, Grand and Harlem were pretty still dirt roads, mud roads. They really didn't build up the storefronts that we grew up with. That all came in the later 20s and early 30s. They were just kind of making their mark at that time. But originally, he actually set his store up where would be today the northeast corner of Caputo's store. And you're familiar with that, right?
100%. I was going to put things in perspective. So Western Avenue, for those that don't know, is 2400 West. Yeah. And then he headed out to basically Harlem Avenue, which is 7200 West, which at the time, that was like going west, like he was going almost, you know, in the country. So that was kind of a bold move of his part.
Yeah, at that time, you know, you'll hear people refer to Montclair, right? At that time, it was called Montclair, because I don't think it was annexed by the city just yet at that time. So you had Elmwood Park, you had Montclair. He set his store up, which it would be Elmwood Park. And then moved over. So he ran his store from the early 20s in Elmwood Park to about 1930, and then came over to the Chicago side at Neva and Altgeld. And that storefront's still there. My brother used it as his insurance agency. But during the Depression, the story I hear is my nonno would put everybody on credit. So he fed the neighborhood, so to speak. And what kind of broke his heart was after, you know, let's say once World War II came about and people started to get back on their feet, then the stores like A&P started popping up. And so his customers started going to A&P, still owing them money. So my nana and my dad and his brother and sister went door to door, you know, and just said, hey, you know, you want to go somewhere else? That's fine, but you got a tab still. But not to talk negative about it, but my dad would tell me that a lot of people would come to him later in life when my dad was in his 50s and tell him stories that he didn't even know because they were, it was a bad time. They just, you know, people didn't have money. So what's kind of funny is, and you may see this too, Frank, you know, our families kind of have a pretty long history in this area, but when people come and go, they kind of forget that these families have been around for a very, very long time. They just left. They left the neighborhood, but you trace their roots. A lot of them are here in the 20s and 30s. And that's what really made St. Williams, to be honest, you know, that those families. So, yeah, that's kind of the quick overview.
Couple questions. One, have you ever been to Italy?
I have several times, sadly, never to Calabria.
That was my next question.
Yeah, never. I was going to go with my dad because he'd be able to speak the language. I'm not like you, Frank. I can't speak Italian. He could speak the language, and he was there many, many times and knew the family that were there. So I thought it was, and he had to cancel on me. So I thought, I'm going to wait until I can go with somebody that has some knowledge. But my dad's 98 right now, so there's not a chance he'll make it there. So I got to find a way to get there and kind of discover my roots, because there's a very interesting story here. When my Nono's family came over in the late 1800s, they changed their name. So our family name is actually Gabrielli, not Viola. Yeah. And so my Nono, they not only changed his last name, they reversed his first name with his middle name. And so we all joke, you know, these are Calabres, right? Were they running from something at that time? They never tell you those things, you know? So that's kind of the interesting part, is that we're still trying to figure out. And I think the only way I will figure out, Frank, is if I go to Calabria, go to the churches, because that's where all the records are, right? Find out. All I know about my great-grandfather is his name was Pasquale Gabrielli. And now I got to do all the research, go back and find out, you know, who is our family.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it would be worthwhile for you. And if you get that opportunity, take it. And you're right. Definitely go to the church, and thank God that you know the real name, because if you didn't know the real name, it would be just a complete lost cause. But knowing the real names, I'm sure you'll find out a lot of good information. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's why at the end of all my podcast videos, I put Gabrielli Productions.
Oh,
it's kind of my way of kind of holding on, because I always joke with my dad. I said, Viola is meaningless to us. You know, it's not our ancestral name, right? And so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of works. Yeah.
The neighborhood Montclair, was it for you? So I understand you were like born, raised there and still live there. So you are definitely an expert of the neighborhood. Was it a highly Italian area?
Yeah. So very. I mean, if you go back to St. William's School, you can start back in the 40s, maybe in the 30s, up until about the 1980s. And look at all the class pictures. 80% were Italian names. You know, I grew up just hanging out with mostly Italian kids, right? But we had the Irish and the Germans, some Polish and some Greek, but Grand Harlem was predominantly very Italian.
And speaking of Grand and Harlem, I understand that you wrote a book. Please tell us the title and what it's about.
Yeah, the funny story about that is we had a bunch of guys get together at Beretta's restaurant off of Central and what is that, north of Addison or whatever.
Exactly.
And we're sitting around talking. This is about maybe even 15 years ago. And I said, guys, why aren't we writing a book about what we experienced growing up? And they said, yeah, that's a great idea. Why don't you start it? Which is kind of a joke among guys. It's almost like, yeah, you go do that. So I did. I started writing it. I wasn't getting a lot of contribution, so I just wrote the whole thing. What I tried to do in that, and it's actually, for me, it was kind of something I could hand down to my grandchildren, right? And my, so that they knew what happened at that time, because it's so different, even from the way my daughters were raised, let alone my grandchildren. It's just a different world. So I thought, let's memorialize this. And so that book, it's very family-centric. It basically says, here's how we were, and then here's how the families were, and here are the things that happened. And some people would say, no way. I mean, you know, I talk about the fights. I mean, when we were growing up, that was, if you remember, Frank, that was a regular thing. You know, today, you know, maybe that's a good thing. You know, people didn't settle differences by fights, you know. But Grand Harlem was a bruiser kind of area, you know. And the way we grew up, and not to go into too much detail, is you always had a pecking order. Always had a pecking order. So the older guys, you listen to them, and that just is the way it is. You know, it's very traditional. What's funny about that is even till today, if I'm around the older guys, I don't care if I walked across water, they would say, what are you too proud to take a boat? You know, they just, you know, there's never that ability to get beyond what you were. And that's kind of cool. That kind of keeps you in your place. But yeah,
it's
I wrote
a
it mostly.
Respect, I think, just the way
it is a respect.
Oh, I think, there's a lot of it today, unfortunately, but I think there was. The name of the book is?
It's called The Grand and Harlem Days. Yeah. And originally, the cover of the book had a map of Grand Harlem. And then something happened when I was producing it. They wiped it out and gave me this real bland cover. But yeah, it's out on Amazon.
Okay, great. And it's by Walter Viola. I was not aware that you wrote this book. You just mentioned it before we went on. So I'm very intrigued. I am definitely going to buy the book and read the book. And I'll tell you, kudos to you, because we always preach that at the Italian Cultural Center, write your stories. And you did. So that is excellent.
Well, you know, Frank, I don't know if you know, but we have a Facebook group page called Mega, which is Montclair, Elmwood Park, Galewood, and Austin, right? And you can't believe when I launched that, I launched it in 2020 because everybody was going nuts with COVID. And that took off. I think we're up to 10,500 members right now. Just going in there and hearing everybody's stories, if a historian just sat back, he could get a book out of what they're doing on that Facebook group. And that's really exciting because everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a memory. Everybody, you know, even when I post something from the 1950s, that's before me, you'll get these people with these heartfelt stories about that thing that I post, you know. So, yeah, I think it's important we keep our history, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I really particularly love about those Facebook pages is when people post those old pictures and it just brings you back, and it's priceless, you know, the feeling that you get inside. Definitely.
Yeah.
Tell me about so your involvement with the San Rocco di Potenza Chicago Society. I know it's been going on for what seems like forever. And just tell me about the whole thing, the whole society, please.
Yeah, so it was originally founded in the year 1902. And I actually put the entire story about the society. Did I invite you to our group's page, Frank, that...
Yes, Facebook page for
okay.
the society, yes.
Yeah. So again, I decided rather than word of mouth, because a lot of what we were told coming into the society was word of mouth. And so what I decided to do was go do my own research and then put a separate, not a book, but basically a separate pamphlet out that explain, you know, what was San Rocco? First of all, where did it come from, right? Well, of course, it came from Di Potenza, Italy, right? But the important thing was the the way it was formed is kind of interesting, which is really the way it always was with these Catholic societies. It was usually one very devout Italian, right? And in our case, it was Paul Corelli Sr., right? And he was, of course, Italian born. He was a barber who came to Chicago, and he made a personal pledge to celebrate the Feast of St. Rocco for the rest of his life. So he founded it in 1902, and I believe he died in like 1965-ish. But it originally, San Rocco as a society is always attached to a church or a parish. So the first one was St. Mary of Mount Carmel Church, which would be today 67th and Hermitage, right? But of course, that's long gone, right? And so then they moved it in 1976 to Holy Rosary Church, which is 612 Northwestern Avenue, right? And then in 1995, we're fortunate enough that Father Rizzo allowed it to come to St. William's because, of course, they lost Holy Rosary Church with all these consolidations. So the Society of San Rocco di Potenza is now at St. William's Parish on Chicago's northwest side. And when you say you're familiar with the feast, it's probably those feasts, Frank, or do you remember going back all the way to Holy Rosary?
No, it's honestly, it's just the St. William's.
Yeah, that's what most people recognize, that, you know, this is it. We like to say the San Rocco di Potenza Society is truly grand in Harlem. It's really our footprint, you know. So we got both that religious aspect, Frank, but the culture too, you know.
No, I think it's excellent. So, great area. Yeah. Whoever, you know, picked it or made it happen, great job, because it's a perfect location.
Yeah. But the overall objective, if you had to say, what are the primary aims of the Society of San Rocco? It's cultural preservation, right? So the society works to preserve this whole cultural heritage of Posenza, right? And you know how Italians are, their hometown is very important. So through these gatherings and celebrations, the music, the dance, the food, and the customs, right? Like this year, we're once again going to have the Italian dancers. We always have the Italian band, you know. But there's also a real social and community support, right? So we do what we can for the parish of St. William's. That's kind of our primary aim. How do we help the parish out? But as Sal Alencio always tells us, he says, listen, when we do these feasts, the primary goal is our religious observance, right? We're going for the mass first and foremost, and then we're going for the procession of the Blessed Mother in San Rocco. And then everything after that is just a social thing, right? It's part of the fun, because as Italians, especially as Italian Catholics, we're social people. So that's, yeah, that those two go together pretty well.
Can you give us a little info about the upcoming fest? When, where, what time?
Yeah, so it's going to be August 18th. It's going to be where it normally is, right at the four corners of the St. William's Parish, which is Wrightwood and Sayre. We're going to have food booths. Well, first of all, there's going to be a very long procession through the streets of the neighborhood. There will be a 12 o'clock mass, then it's followed by a procession through the neighborhood. Then people will come back, listen to the music, and there will be food there. And we even like to break out room for dancing, right? This year, we're kind of got a special treat. We got a pretty good band. They're a band that have horns as well, a little bit like a Chicago motif called Midnight. Typically, what we have is we'll have the Italian Sicilian band play. We'll have a DJ. We'll have a primary singing act. This year we're going to actually add one more, right? Which is what I was saying, which is that group Midnight. And what people could expect is typical Italian food. There'll also be Italian ice and ice cream. I don't know if you're familiar with John Mori from All Star Ice Cream. He used to have Mori Milk. He's going to be handling all the ice cream and Italian ice. What else is there? So,
you know what I love about it? I love that it's kind of like, so the fest is right in the streets. You block off the streets, and it's neighborhood streets, though. It's not main thoroughfare. And I love that aspect of it, that we're right there on the street. And I love the procession in the neighborhood. And the one thing that perhaps we're just fortunate to possess in Chicago is a feast band. We actually have two feast bands, which is amazing. And I'm telling you, for me, they make it. When that
Thank
band
you.
starts playing that music, it just makes it. It's I couldn't imagine without it. And they dress the parts there. I give them credit, both of them. Both feast bands are excellent. And it's just a great time. So, I mean, I highly advise it to everybody. Northwest Side, one day, good old fashioned procession, religious procession and festival.
Right, right.
You can't beat it.
Yeah, no,
definitely.
You can't.
Okay, switching gears. You are the host of your own show, Catholic Reboot. Tell me how you started it, but to put it in perspective, which just blows my mind, I understand you started about 3 years ago. You have just like 2,600 episodes, which
yeah.
I mean, when I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, like how does this happen? So tell me how you started this and all about it.
Yeah, it kind of started right around a little, maybe at the same time COVID hit, where people had more time to talk with each other, probably socialize directly instead of running out, which I thought was one of the benefits. I thought some families got to reconnect. Any event, I was visiting my my oldest daughters, and the kids were asking me, they used to call it Jesus questions. They'd say, no, we have a Jesus question. And they were somewhat basic questions. But what I started to notice, and I hope I'm not outing my daughter and my son-in-law, but they didn't know. And so I would say to them, you know your catechism, right? And, right. So I thought, you know what? We're really losing. Catholics have lost the knowledge of their faith. And the other thing that started to get to me is I lost quite a few family members to the Protestant faith. And I thought, you know what? We got to stop this. We got to stop the bleeding. And this may be somewhat political saying this. I'm not a big fan of the modern Catholic Church. I think after Vatican II, they've done everything they could to destroy it. So I decided I'm going to go back and create a podcast. And the reason I call it Catholic Reboot is to reboot what Catholics used to be, okay? Or what Catholics knew to be the doctrine, faith and morals, the sacraments. I said, I'm just going to take it back like nobody was ever Catholic, and I'm going to teach them step by step by step. That's why there's so many episodes, because I'm teaching catechism, I'm teaching the great writings of St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, St. Teresa, St. John of the Cross. These things are lost. People don't even know they exist. But I also make sure every day I list the names of the feast days of the saints, and then I produce a separate episode on the life of that saint, right? I interview bishops, priests, fellow Catholics, young Catholics, which are really near and dear to my heart, because these young Catholics really have great zeal. They just were never taught the faith. And so the discussions come about, Frank, usually from, well, what do you mean by that? And that's all that podcast podcast is. Now, there's big podcasts like you have Dr. Taylor Marshall, Anthony Stein. You know, these guys have, you know, millions of followers. Every time they put out an episode, they're getting thousands and thousands of responses and views. Yeah, that's great, but I don't do sensationalism. I don't want to talk about the problems. I want to teach the faith. Now, every once in a while, just to keep the faithful up to speed, I'll tell them what's happening in Rome. And by the way, Frank, the stuff that's happening now, I don't even think most Catholics know is happening. So what I'll do is I'll say, okay, the Holy Father said this. Now let's juxtapose that with the church doctrine. Can he say this, right? So I'm not attacking him. I'm bringing what he says and then trying to line it up with church doctrine. And I would say 95% of the time, he's not following church doctrine. He's following what they call the new magisterium of Pope Francis in the Catholic Church. So not to go negative, what I say is, if you think I'm incorrect, here's the receipts. Here's the encyclicals of previous popes. Here's the writings of the previous councils. And I just explain everything as best as I can. I actually got a convert or two out of it. Both cradle Protestant and cradle Catholic. In one case, a cradle Protestant that was very good knowing scripture, but had to learn how to make the transition to our sacraments and our traditions. And that one was a cradle Catholic who, much like her generation, which would be the generation before me, left the faith because they didn't see anything in it, right? Well, once she came in, then she got upset. Because she said, why did they not teach us this, or why did they not tell us this? So, not to get too deep in the weeds, Catholic Reboot is a site that says, if you really want to know your Catholic faith, not what they're practicing today. Right? Now, you may ask, well, wait a minute, well, if you don't believe what they're practicing today, where do you go to Mass? And I go to St. John Cantius. So I go to the traditional Mass. I celebrate the traditional calendar, and there's a whole story why they changed the calendar. And I am Catholic, so I'm not schismatic. It's just, here's my motto, Frank. Anything after 1965, which was the closing of the council back into, I don't follow it. Because number one, it's not doctrine. And most people don't know, Vatican II was not a council that was based in doctrine. It had no doctrine. Vatican II is what they call a pastoral council, which is a cute word for let's just mess this up and then say we're being pastoral. So if anybody can point to me why the traditional Mass was abrogated, show me the document. It's not there. If anybody can point to me why we don't follow the faith, morals, and doctrines of the Catholic Church prior to Vatican II, point me there. It's not there. And the sad thing, Frank, and this is really sad because I hate to compare it to our government, the Catholic Church has become a very humanistic, liberalistic, communistic entity, and that is not Christ, okay? So as Catholics, what do we believe? The Catholic Church is the mystical body of Christ, which means no man can really destroy it. No matter if we get a bad pope, bad bishop, bad priest, it's Christ's institution, unlike Martin Luther, which is a man-made institution. So the problem I have whenever I'm having a conversation with Catholics, I call them Novus Ordo Catholics, which is a word that Pope Paul VI coined for new order, the new order. When I have a conversation with them, they got nothing, Frank. They got nothing. I mean, they I don't want to say they can't debate. They just don't know anything, you know, and so it's very difficult to teach unless it's very difficult for someone to learn the true faith unless you teach them. And so that's why I started Catholic Group, but I figured somebody had to do it.
So you are devoting a lot of time to this because you're apparently taping twice a day?
Yeah, so I do a morning episode. So I get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I get my episode done before I start work. And then right after, we say a Holy Rosary via Zoom every night at 7 o'clock. So people get on Zoom, we all say the rosary together. Right after the Zoom, I do a nightly episode. So I got a morning and an evening. But every once in a while, I get some guests that constantly will want to present something, right? And so I'll do like you're doing. I'll set up the Zoom and I pretty much say, go for it, right? I try not to stop them because they did hard work on writing their content. It's just because it's my channel, I'll wait till they're done and then I may have to correct something they said or verify what they're saying, you know? But it's exciting because I get so many different types. Like I have Bishop Spinoza out of Ohio that comes on. I have a former police officer who is a fantastic man and a great Catholic, very knowledgeable. He'll come on. And I just love getting all these different people to get on and explain what they know about their faith. And this is the sad part. And this is how I raised my children. I always said to them, and I said it regularly, why were you born? Why were you born? You know, to love, to serve your God. And how do you do that with your whole heart, your whole soul, and all your might? And why do you do that? So you can be with him in heaven. Now, Frank, we learn that as kids. I'm going to tell you, if I sit around with my friends and I say that, you know what I get? Come on. That's what they'll do. Come on, wall. Okay. So I really think we really do live in a great period of what apostates. People just don't care, you know. So the more we can reach out, and I'm really big on prayer. Like we have a Mother Perpetual Help Novena every Thursday night at St. William's Church that we get about 5-6 people, right? I love the devotions because this is what we grew up with. We grew up with the novenas, saying the litany, saying the Holy Rosary, doing the holy hours, doing Eucharistic adoration, you know. And much like we love San Rocco events, getting our culture back, right? Don't lose your culture. I say the higher priority is don't lose your faith and don't lose your soul, right? The culture is one thing. God's above our culture. So that's why those two go together.
They do go together. And I agree with you. I think as a whole, our community has lost faith. And by losing the faith, sometimes they lose the heritage identity as well, or the desire for it. So I agree wholeheartedly. Are some or a lot of your episodes, it's just you, right? Alone?
Yeah, me alone. Yeah. What I'll do is, what I generally do for the morning and evening episode is I use the quotes of the great saints and then a scripture verse. And we have such a treasure trove of great writings by the great saints that it doesn't take anything. I'll take one paragraph from a saint and I could write a whole episode about it, you know, or one scripture. I usually marry a quote by a saint and a scripture verse together to create a theme for that episode. And then I write and I go, yeah.
So please tell us, how do we listen to your show?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question because originally I started on YouTube and that was very easy because YouTube is very, very good. Just simply go in the search and say Catholic Reboot, you're there. The problem was during the COVID period, I was speaking out against the church's lockdown of the Rome's assistance and our bishop's assistance in locking down the churches. And I got thrown off of YouTube. So I had to find another platform. So I went to what's called Rumble, R-U-M-B-L-E. Rumble is kind of the conservative platform where YouTube is a little bit liberal, right? Rumble will not touch you for free speech, where YouTube will take you out, okay? So I do everything on Rumble. And all you have to do is you go out to Rumble, and in the search, you just put Catholic Reboot, and it'll take you to my site. The problem with Rumble is their search capabilities are not as good as YouTube. So what I do is I have a Catholic Reboot Facebook group, and I put them all in there. So all you have to do is go to that, click on the link there. So that's how I get them out. But Frank, I really mean this. I don't look for clicks or likes. Of course, anybody that puts time in wants to see views. But even that, if I write something, I'm writing it, I'll say, boy, that's pretty educational. I could get 100 views and that's it. Other things, all right, I could get 300-400 views, right? It's really weird what people are attracted to. And so I thought, you know what, much like you said at the opening, we're not big into the clickbait kind of stuff. It's like we do what we do because we love what we do. If it catches on, then it's supposed to catch on.
And you know what? That's a great thing. You do it from your heart, and that's huge in my eyes.
Right.
And
right.
it affects people. You know, yeah. Believe me, it really does. Walt, honestly, thank you for all you're doing for our faith and for our heritage, because, you know, it's real simple in life. If people don't step up and do these things and take their time, it's all gone. So yeah. I really respect someone like yourself that does so much. I mean, you really go above and beyond. So we have Catholic Reboot on Rumble. We have the St. Rocco Society based out of St. William's Church in Chicago Northwest Side, with the fest coming up August 18th on Sunday, mm-hmm. Mass at noon, followed by a procession, and then lots of fun.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, Walt,
Frank, I got to compliment you. Your Italian reading at the St. Joseph's procession was beautiful. You did a great job on that.
Well, thank you. And since you brought it up, I tip my hat to our buddy, Joe Giammarusti, because here's the guy. He doesn't just talk about things. Once again, he's a doer. He's a neighborhood guy. He lives, eats, and breathes it. Northwest Side. And he kind of had this dream about St. Joseph. And he bought a statue. And he had some buddies build a, what do you call it? Like a platform for it.
I think it's called a bear. Base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keeps it in his home all year round. And he puts together a little prayer service and procession, but this is not your typical procession. We are walking on the sidewalks of Chicago, and it's awesome. I've done it with him the 2 years he's done it, and we're walking on the sidewalk, and the reaction of the cars is extremely positive. Lots of waving, lots of honking horns. They're excited. He's keeping it alive. Why does he do it in June? A lot of people ask me that. And I tell them, because St. Joseph is the patron saint of fathers. So he does it the day before Father's Day.
Yeah.
And he could do it any day because it's his operation. But that's a very appropriate day. So we have the prayers. We do the procession up and down Harlem. Come back for a little food at the beautiful Piazza Italia. And I tip my hat to the man. I really do. So and thank you for the compliment. So to all
really
of us
fun.
Out there, keep doing these things. That's it. Keep it up. Keep doing it. You're affecting. If you affect one, that's one more for us.
That's exactly right. And it usually starts with one person, Frank.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
Walt, thank you for your time, because I could see you have so very little of it. I appreciate the interview. And like I said, all that you're doing. And if I can help in any way and keep promoting, people, listen to Catholic Reboot and come out and see us at the St. Rocco Fest on August 18th.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it.
Thank you.